There's only but so much that the schools can do to address the problem of chronic absenteeism. It's going to require the rest of us in the community to lock elbows and form one orchestra that is playing its different parts in different communities and different neighborhoods at different times, but all around the same song. And the song is this: hey kid, you got to be in school. Hey mom and dad, you got to help your kid get to school. And what obstacles must we remove in order for that to happen?
But the kids spend a lot of time in after-school programs and Sunday school programs, and all those adults who these kids really look up to, they really want to do what they're encouraged to do. They can be the ones that help the kids understand, this has to be a bedrock part of my behavior. I'm going to be there. I'm going to go to school.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and as part of WESA's Life of Learning Initiative, we are devoting today's show to an examination of chronic absenteeism in area schools. And in this portion of the program, we're looking for solutions to the problem. We welcome back into Studio A Pittsburgh Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Linda Lane. Dr. Lane, again, thank you for being with us.
Oh, happy to be here.
And joining us for this segment is Colleen Fedor, Executive Director of the Mentoring Partnership of Southwestern Pennsylvania. Colleen Fedor, good to have you with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And joining us by phone is Sue Fothergill, Senior Policy Analyst with Attendance Works, Executive Director of Education Rising, and Director of the Baltimore Student Attendance Campaign. Sue Fothergill, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. We've got some callers lined up. We'll get to them momentarily. But in our second segment, we talked about the impact of absenteeism on the community, and now we want to look at solutions. But first, how do we move past the blame game? And Dr. Lane, I'm sure that you hear no shortage of reasons for why people think that the schools, the teachers, and the administrators are not holding up their end of the bargain. So how do we get past that and simply get to where we're looking at solutions?
I totally believe that both the community, the families, and the schools have to find common ground. And the common ground is we want kids to do well in school. And so if we all agree on that's our goal, so can we not work together to, one, remove the barriers and solve the problems that students might have, and on the other side also make school a place where kids want to be? So I think both of those things have to happen, and we have to work together to do it. And in education, I think often there is a lack of cooperation. We do try to see whose fault this is rather than how can we fix it.
Sue, we find solutions everywhere. You've worked with a number of school districts. What seems to be effective?
I totally agree on the idea of finding common ground. I also think that there's a couple of other aspects to the work, and one of them is the data. So getting past blaming each other or others for the problem is really to wrap our arms around the data and better understand the reasons for the chronic absence and where it's happening. And so what we often find when we look at the data is that the chronic absenteeism problem, while every school might have a few kids that are chronically absent, you also find that there are a few schools that have higher rates of chronic absence or neighborhoods. And so what we like to do is use the data to drive decision-making, and then we also like to bring in partners. And where we really see the opportunities is around identifying outlying schools or outlying districts that are doing really well with attendance and better understanding the work that they're doing. And traditionally, what we found across the country is that districts that are doing really well with attendance are focusing in four areas, and one of them is awareness. We talked a lot earlier in the show about, well, how could parents not know the rules, or do parents have misunderstandings about early grades attendance and kindergarten and pre-K and the power of being in school every day starting as early as preschool? And so districts that are doing the work around awareness, making sure they're pushing the messaging out to the parents, to students, to educators, to the principals, about what are the roles and why does it really matter? What do we know about attendance and how it helps young people to be successful every day? Capacity building, districts that are working with their principals and their teachers to build their capacity to manage their data systems, to analyze their data, and then to also support them around the best practices, which I can talk about later.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Sue, if I can jump in here. Do you have to use different approaches for each school?
Not necessarily. So the approaches, and I just want to add before I say this, is accountability is really important. So making sure that schools understand that one of the things that they're responsible for is ensuring that every kid comes to school every day, and that accountability stretches to chronic absenteeism, which is new as compared to where accountability has rested in the past, which is more around truancy or average daily attendance. But the approaches really fall into five categories. Number one, and you talked about this earlier, engagement, making sure that the students and parents are engaged in the day, in the life in the day of school. Early outreach, so it's as soon as a young person becomes absent, making sure we're connecting with families right away. And that early outreach is personalized, so it's not relying on a robocall or a letter, but really making a person-to-person connection to a family, especially if they have a history of absenteeism. Establishing a data team at the school, this could be an existing team that's already looking at data, but making sure that they're also looking at attendance data, and they're looking at it by subgroup and chronic absenteeism, by class and by subgroup and by individual students. And making sure that the school, that this team is understanding the barriers. So there's individual reasons why young people are missing school, but as you dig into the stories, you might find strands of commonality, and making sure that the data team recognizes what those strands of commonality are and then are looking to remove those barriers. So for example,
Let me jump in, Sue, because I want to bring in a caller who wants to address some of what we're talking about here. Amy in the Scott Township. Amy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Amy. And Amy, are you there?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead with your comment
awesome.
Or question.
Well, you know, I think it's, I'm actually really excited that this is the segment I called in because it is about the solutions. And while I do think there are many parents out there that need to be responsible for their children's, you know, absenteeism, I think there's another issue out there where if you have a child who's going to have chronic absenteeism due to health issues, that the administration and the parents do have to work together collectively in a timely manner to get solutions to set that child up for success. However, in my personal experiences, that has not happened. It's been very frustrating, and on more than one occasion, like my daughter needed homebound education, and in two of the subjects she never received a teacher, and then they threatened to fail her. So while I'm not trying to point fingers, I am trying to say that part of the solution is not only looking externally at what the parents are doing, but internally what the administration can do to improve communication and have timely feedback in response to all the issues.
Well, we have the superintendent of the Pittsburgh Public Schools right here, Dr. Linda Lane. So, Dr. Lane, what about what Amy is saying? How would you address her concerns?
I think she's right. Schools and parents are going to have to work together cooperatively in this space. And sometimes you have to have a more customized solution for a child. And certainly when we're dealing with health issues, that often you have to have a more customized solution. I appreciated what Dr. Hippert said in the first segment about is there a potential of some online learning for that child for the brief amount of time that they may be unable to come to school. So I agree that the idea that as schools we can tend to be not the most flexible spaces to work with or groups to work with, and we have to reach out to our parents and see if there are some ways we can reach some solutions.
Colleen Fedor, how does mentoring – you're a mentor in the public schools or in the schools, executive director of the Mentoring Partnership of Southwestern Pennsylvania. So how does mentoring factor into all of this?
So mentoring is a part of the package of the solution, all of the pieces that work together to support the message that we care about our children, we want them to succeed, we want them to be able to be contributing members of our society, and in order to make that happen, we have to surround them with people who care about them, who have time to listen and pay attention and support them. And help them be successful. So there are programs that are in school. For example, locally we have the Be a Middle School Mentor. We'll have 800 mentors in Pittsburgh Public Schools middle school buildings who spend time with kids learning together, sharing, and helping them. There are examples across the country and locally of after-school and in-school programming that is really focused around reducing the barriers or the reasons why kids are not being successful and helping them navigate that. We know that when their mentors are there to meet them, kids show up for school. That's a plus. We know that when they have mentors and advocates in their corner, it's someone else to help them find their path. There are so many examples of great after-school and in-school programming happening in our districts, all 43 local districts, and helping the community come together with this consistent message that says it does matter to be at school and that we get kids there. And then helping mentors understand that and translate that to our kids is all part of the total package, I think.
Let's take a call from Scott in O'Hara Township who has a comment on exactly what we're discussing here. Scott, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you taking the call. I realize this is a complex issue, and my comment is a bit narrowly focused, but pertaining to what you're talking about in this segment, but my call was triggered by something that the parent advocate was saying in the last segment, which was highly disturbing to me, which she was implying that the onus is heavily on the teacher or the school to ensure that children attend regularly. I disagree with that strongly. It's clearly, to me, up to the parents to instill the importance of attendance on their children. And I grew up in a very middle-class neighborhood in Forest Hills. My kids are now in O'Hara Township. This simply isn't a question in our community, either when I was growing up or now. It is clear that you go to school. There's no question about that, and I certainly don't think it is in any way the responsibility of the teachers or the administration to shoulder the burden for ensuring that that happens. Certainly they can.
Let me.
Can I weigh in on that? Because
go ahead, Sue.
I think that you make the point that it's the responsibility of the parent to ensure that their children show up to school every day. I think what the advocate was suggesting is that when that's not happening, then it is the responsibility of the teachers and the other school administrators to notice when a young child is missing so much school that they are academically at risk, and then to begin the process of connecting with that family to really understand what's happening and to figure out how they can support that family and that young person so they can get caught up and get to school every day. So when it's not happening at home for whatever reason, we can't just throw up our hands and say, well, it was the parents' responsibility, and then they just didn't do it, and that's the end of the conversation. We have to make sure the other adults and caring people in that young person's life, such as a mentor, are also paying attention and then seeing what else can be done. We have to wrap our arms around the kids and make sure they're in school every day and being successful.
And one of the community voices that we heard minutes ago referenced a community-wide effort of locking arms and singing the same song, which reinforces the message of going to school. Linda Lane, is this realistic?
Yeah, I think it's possible for us to do that. And to our caller, there's one circumstance I'd like to just describe with one of our high school students that I got to know to some extent. But, again, it was a situation where this young man was responsible for getting younger brothers and sisters to school. Mom was at work. Mom was working multiple jobs, and I think there were four children in the family. And, of course, the young man needed to attend a special program to catch up, and she was saying no, she wanted him to do that. But, and of course, I was raised middle class, too. So my first reaction is, don't you realize he has to do this? We want him to graduate. He needs to attend this thing. And so I had the very same reaction. But then I thought a second time and recognized that I never had been in that circumstance. I'd never been a single parent. I'd never had to work multiple jobs. I'd never tried to raise four children on my own. And so I was speaking basically from a point of privilege. And I had the privilege of having two parents. I had the privilege of growing up middle class. So it's very difficult, I think. I recognized in my own thought process that I needed to think again think again before I decide that this is this parent's fault.
There's an example, a documentary on PBS did called The Middle School Moment, which outlines this young lady named Omarina, who I had a chance to have dinner with, she and her mother. And it shows how the school intervened with this young lady who all of a sudden was starting to fall off the cliff, as someone once described. And so by just getting to build that relationship and her mentor identifying what those barriers were, transportation issues, helping her identify then if you live in this location, how do you get to school from there? What are the buses? And so just understanding that it's sometimes very personal and it takes time. This community message, can I just talk about McKeesport?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Colleen, but we are getting short on time, and I did want to welcome in one last caller, Beverly in Oakland, who wanted to make a comment. Beverly, if you can go quickly. Beverly, are you there? Beverly going once, going twice, and gone. Okay, so Colleen, go ahead and make your point about McKeesport.
When I drive through the city of McKeesport, there are banners hanging across the streets now about share McKeesport's message and the message that they're trying to be community-wide around dignity, respect, hope, and I wish I knew the fourth piece on that. But the fact that they've said we need a continuous message to say that it matters and McKeesport cares about you. And I think that's a really good local example, along with the United Way campaign around Be There. Yeah. It's National Attendance Awareness Month and in September. Great.
Yeah, last thing, the Be There campaign here in Allegheny County around Pittsburgh, there are going to be 300 empty school seats placed around the city just to make sure that our community is just as engaged.
Great.
That's a good note to end on. We are out of time, but I would like to thank all of our guests, including Pittsburgh Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Linda Lane, Colleen Fedor, Executive Director of the Mentoring Partnership of Southwestern Pennsylvania, and joining us by phone, Sue Fothergill, Senior Policy Analyst with Attendance Works. Thank you all for joining us for this edition of Essential Pittsburgh. Special thanks to WESA's Director of Internships, Kevin Gavin, for his help in producing this program. Tomorrow, U.S. Ambassador Dan Simpson joins us to talk about President Obama's options for dealing with Syria. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.